Happy Father's Day. Welcome to Sunrise. Are you new here? Do you have prayer requests you'd like to share with us? Please go and fill out one of our Connect cards at sunrise.church/welcome. Here's a look at some of the regular all-church activities we have going on this week. Each Monday at 10 a.m., Pastor Cliff hosts the Back Shed Bible Study. And you know it's always a powerful thing when Pastor Cliff opens the Word, but this last week's episode was more powerful than ever. Matter of fact, I'm surprised the shed is still standing. But if you missed it, check it out. It's well worth your while. We also have Pastors Live each Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. This is a good opportunity for you to sit in with the pastoral staff and get to know them a little better as we have a chat about issues that the church is facing and the future that God has in store for us. Pastor Luke's podcast, the Luke Miller Podcast, goes live each Thursday at 2 p.m., and this is time very well spent. If you would like to get to know our lead pastor Luke's heart during these times in particular, I would suggest going back and looking at episode number 8, which is on prayer and lament. The word is real, and it's applicable to any season we may be going through. So I encourage you to check out Pastor Luke's podcast. The Beat Podcast goes live 12:30 on Friday afternoons featuring our worship pastor, Rachel. This week, she will be meeting with a friend, Cantor Ben, from the Mosaic Law Congregation in a cultural exchange on worship as we go through this pandemic. Be sure to tune in, 12:30 Friday afternoon. We have several ways to give at Sunrise. One is by writing a check. Another is by going to the address online that you see before you now. And another is texting the number that is on the screen. We are very thankful for your continued support at Sunrise. And at this time, I'd like to bless the offering. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for the faithfulness of this church body in the midst of a time where we're not able to gather together as we would like. The giving continues to be strong as we desire, Heavenly Father, to operationalize your kingdom purposes for Sunrise and to bless the community that we serve. We love you, Heavenly Father. On this Father's Day, we worship you as our perfect Heavenly Father. And we give you thanks for all that you have been doing here, all that you are doing in our midst, and all you intend to do in the future as we discover more of you and lift up your name. So, Heavenly Father, it is in the precious name of your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, that we ask all of these things. Amen. Now join us as we worship together in song.
Well, good morning, Sunrise. Okay, I've got a little secret. You ready for this? I'm bald. Here we go. I just revealed it in front of you all. It's so good to be here, you guys, and thank you for inviting me back. My name is John. If we haven't met before, I would love to meet you sometime. Let's do some singing, all right?
Nothing can separate, even if I ran away, your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes. You have no mercy for me every day. Your love never fails. You stay the same.
I know that you love me. Your love never is always fair.
I really enjoy repeating myself over and over again.
I just love when the kids talk back to me. I don't care if you get a job this summer. I don't care if you get detention.
I can't open this jar. See if Mom can open it.
Just take your time in there, okay?
No means maybe.
Hey, why don't you bring that ball inside and play with it?
Hey, don't put that back where you found it. Just leave it on the floor.
Ew, bacon.
If you put a dent in the car, it's really no big deal.
It's 10 a.m. Go back to bed.
Look, whatever your friends are doing, just do the exact same thing.
I got more than enough sleep last night.
If your friends are okay with it, then I'm okay with it.
Stop signs are just a suggestion. You don't need a chaperone. You don't need a seatbelt. You don't need a savings account. You should buy the jeans with the holes in them.
Hey, we're all going to go to church, but you can just sleep in, okay?
Can we please just hang out in here for another 10 minutes?
Hey, can we get some more bickering back there?
All right, bills!
Yay, traffic!
Woohoo, taxes!
Yes!
Laundry!
Hey, can you kids come in here and jump on my bed?
Quick, go tell Mom what happened right away.
You don't need to finish your dinner. Hey, look at your phone when I'm talking to you. I wish I had a smaller TV. We got you that phone for a reason. Texting boys.
All right, everyone, listen up. Mom and I are going out of town this weekend, so please, mess up the whole house while we're gone. Please throw a few parties while we're gone. Please forget about the dog entirely while we're gone. Hey, when you're finished pouring that, can you just leave it out on the counter all day? Thanks.
Hey, what are you doing?
I'm gonna bungee jump out of this tree.
That's a really good idea.
Well, I don't know about you, but that video is not exactly what my life is. Being a father means so much. And I know as we come into Father's Day today that all kinds of emotions can come up when it comes to Father's Day. Instantly, well, I should say, it affects every single one of us. All of us had a dad. And some of us maybe didn't even know our dad, but not knowing our dad affects us. Having a dad that's very present affects us. Having a dad that's not present affects us. And so today we're going to dig deep into dad, what it means to have a dad or have had a dad, and what it means to be a dad or someday become a dad, like the three guys that are standing behind this camera right now. I jump in here and immediately what starts to happen with me is I go back to thinking about my own dad. I think that's what naturally happens. And when I look at my own dad, he was not a perfect guy in any sense of the word, but he influenced me probably more than any other human being on the face of this earth. There are so many of his great habits that I got and some of his other habits that I got as well that I probably wished I had not inherited from him. But the truth is, he affected me. And God used him in my life to do some really cool things and to shape me. And even some of my dad's faults caused some major things to happen in my life. One of the things I'll never forget is that he would always talk about not wanting to go to church on Father's Day because, he says, on Mother's Day, the preacher gets up there and talks about how wonderful all the moms are and celebrates all the great, wonderful things about mom. And then you go on Father's Day and the preacher just stands up there and says, dads, you're not doing a good job. You need to step it up in this area and that area. And so, you know what? I'm just not going to go to church on Father's Day. Well, my goal today for you dads out there is I would love to exhort you a little bit and encourage you a little bit. And for all of you who have dads out there to just think about and either celebrate the things that God has used, how God has used your dad to influence you, or maybe even to consider how God has worked in you through your dad. So, again, going back to my own dad, this man was the hardest worker I knew on the face of this earth. And right now, as many of you know, I am at home working on this crazy home improvement project. We've torn apart our kitchen and it's absolute chaos. And this would have been the perfect opportunity as a kid for my dad to bring me alongside him and teach me how to work. Like, that's the number one thing I remember getting from him is he would always be teaching me how to work. And he'd have
have a project, and he'd figure out ways that I could help him out on that. He was a man of conviction. He was a man that knew that this was the right way, and that was it. And he had strong conviction about that. So many life lessons I got from this man. One of these had to do with forgiveness. I remember early on when I was a kid that my dad would punish me for whatever stupid thing I did, whether it was lying about something or treating someone poorly or anything like that. And he would ultimately punish me. And then I would be moping around afterwards and saying, I'm no good, I'm terrible, I can't believe I did that. And my dad would say this. He says, listen, Clifford, because he would call me Clifford. He'd say, listen, Clifford, the punishment is over. It's all done. You've been forgiven. You can stop crying. You can stop moping about it. You can move on. I'll never forget that. The other thing, I go back and I remember something so clearly that happened in junior high. And I did something that was just bad. I shouldn't have done this thing. And I'll never forget my dad just coming to me and said, I forgive you. And that lesson is a lesson that he taught me. And he says, when somebody does wrong to you, you need to forgive them no matter what it was. He says, when you do something wrong to someone else, you need to be able to say, I was wrong. Would you please forgive me? And you can ask my wife today. Like, this is something that I have learned in life, and I would say I'm pretty good at, not because I'm so good, but because my dad had this influence, and it was on being able to forgive, being able to just let something go and to say, it's okay, you're forgiven. And so that was the experience that I received growing up from my dad. Like I said, it wasn't all perfect, and we had lots of crazy moments, even into adulthood. Even when I was in my 30s and 40s, and he would still be trying to teach me how to do something, and I would still be saying, no, I know how to do it. I can handle this, you know? And as a 40-year-old, as a dad, I'm starting to act like that. But I'm so grateful for the fact that God used this broken, sinful man in my life to shape who I am today. Now what we need to do, though, because this is not all about me for sure, is I want to head back into Scripture, and I want to look at the dads that are in the Bible. And we're going to see some dads that did some things really well. We're going to see some dads that didn't do things really well either. And we start at the very beginning, which is obviously a very good place to start. We start with Adam. And here you have Adam and Eve. And Adam has his two sons, Cain and Abel. And I start to wonder, and we're not even going to dig into this too much, but I start to wonder, if Adam had been a better father, would Cain have killed Abel? I don't know. But he had some sons. Obviously, things didn't go so well. One of the sons killed the other. Not a good situation. Was Adam a great father? I don't know. I look down the way, tells to Noah, and Noah is this great example of a man, a godly, righteous man. He has three sons, and I always get this wrong, so I want to be sure I get this right. You have Shem and Japheth, and then you have Ham. And this one is interesting to me because you have the two sons, Shem and Japheth, when they had that kind of interesting situation where Adam had a little, or not Adam, but Noah had a little bit too much wine to drink, Japheth and Shem had done the right thing, but the son Ham had done not. And I wonder, you know, sometimes we try to raise our kids and give them all the exact same values, but sometimes one of them goes a different direction. And maybe it's not about whether I did a good job or not raising my kids. When, you know, I raised three, and in my case, four different kids, trying to raise them the same, and yet they have the choice to go off and make other decisions. So was Noah a good father? Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. But you move on, and you get to Abraham. And Abraham has two sons that we talk about the most, Ishmael and Isaac. And Ishmael, obviously, is the son that comes through Hagar. In essence, Ishmael is kind of cursed almost, that he's not the favored one. He's not the promised son. He's the one that Abraham and Sarah were having trouble trusting God. And so Sarah kind of took things into her own hands, and Hagar comes in, and Ishmael comes out of that. And the Ishmaelites, you know, interestingly enough, end up becoming people that are against the Israelites for kind of all of history, maybe even to this day, depending on how you understand ancestry. But then you have Isaac, who's the child of the promise, who's born 13 years later, and here he is, the favored son of Abraham. And basically, when Isaac comes along, Ishmael is just shoved out the door. What does that do for a 13-year-old when his father just pushes him out the door and says, "Take off. I don't need to see you anymore. I don't want to see you anymore. You shouldn't be here." I think dysfunctional families have been around for quite a while, honestly. We move forward. We move on, and you get to King David, and he has his son Solomon. And I would assume David was probably a pretty good father, although he kind of had some, he had his moments, obviously. But he hands over the kingdom to Solomon. Solomon is king. He's wise, and all these great things happen. But we all know Solomon did not finish really well. And I kind of doubt that Solomon was the best father either, because he passed on some of these character traits to Rehoboam, who had come along. And in Rehoboam, you can pick up the story there in 1 Kings about Rehoboam, but he basically just comes down hard on the people in such a way that the kingdom is going to end up getting divided out. And Jeroboam is going to go off and take over the rest of the kingdom, and Rehoboam is left with just one portion of it. Again, I got to believe there was some kind of fatherly influence that Solomon could have had, some kind of godly influence that Solomon could have passed on to Rehoboam. But it gets better, I promise. We get into the New Testament, and we get into Matthew. And I want you to join me in Matthew chapter 1 for a moment. Not too hard to find. Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to talk about Joseph. And I think it's really cool to talk about Joseph, because Joseph isn't even the blood father of Jesus. In so many ways, Joseph became the adoptive father of Jesus. Now obviously, it is through bloodlines that we are able to connect Jesus to David, and Joseph is part of that. But Joseph is this person that is rarely mentioned at all in the Bible. You find him here at the beginning of Matthew. And you find Joseph well, let's read it together. Matthew 1:18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, so we find out he's a righteous man, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly so that there wouldn't be any shame. But after he had considered this, an angel appears to him in a dream and says, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you, Joseph, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive, give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel." Verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he didn't consummate the marriage until she gave birth, and he gave him the name Jesus. And I love reading about Joseph, because here is this man who could have pushed Mary out the door, and everyone in Jewish tradition would have given him complete justification for doing it, for divorcing his wife. But he faithfully stayed with her, And he faithfully fathered Jesus. He faithfully raised Jesus up and continued to be active in his life, as we see when Jesus went to the temple and Joseph and Mary were there and a part of that. And I think Joseph is a great example to look at, that maybe it's not even your own dad. Maybe there's been another man who's had an influence in your life that's been a father-like figure. I know when I look back to my teen years especially, that there were some very key people that God placed in my life, some very key men that God placed in my life to model some of the things that I wasn't getting from my own father. And almost becoming adoptive kind of fathers to me and would treat me like a son, the kind of people that I could just call up and say, hey, can we sit down and talk about this? And I'll never forget mentors in my life that were father-like figures who would take me out to breakfast and say, hey, Cliff, you got to work on this area. That thing's not going too well. So that was Joseph. But another dad that I want to tell you about, and if you're watching the Pastors Live, I kind of previewed this when we did Pastors Live back on Wednesday this week. This was a man named Jairus. And so join me in Matthew chapter 9 for a moment as we set the stage for a dad and his daughter. And I got two little girls who are absolutely amazing. And in this story kind of hits home for me. So we're in Matthew chapter 9 and starting at verse 18. And Jesus has just been questioned, probably by the Pharisees or the teachers of the law again. And he says this, verse 18, Matthew chapter 9. While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him. My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live. And Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. And I got to stop right there, because here is this man, his daughter is gone. This precious little girl to him has passed from life into death. And Jairus, as a father, is desperate. He is completely desperate. He would do anything at this moment to bring his daughter back to life. And he's been hearing about this guy named Jesus. And no doubt there was a massive crowd around there. And he somehow found his way to Jesus and thought, if only, maybe these stories that they've been telling are true. Maybe he can bring her back to life. And so he makes his way there. If only you'll put your hand on her. Come and just put your hand on her. She'll live. And so Jesus is like, all right, let's go. And just then, though, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched him by the edge of the cloak. And she's herself, you know, desperate. If only I touch his cloak, I'll be healed. And so Jesus is going through this crowd. He senses this going on. And suddenly Jesus has to pivot. He's getting ready to go help Jairus' daughter out. And help Jairus out, but he goes over to help this woman. And I can't help but think that as a dad, he just started to melt again. And he goes on, and that finally, okay, he heals the woman. Her faith has healed her. Okay, we stopped. But then Jesus enters the synagogue, enters Jairus' house, the synagogue leader's house. And he saw the noisy crowd and people playing pipes, which basically is saying, this girl is dead. She's been dead for a while. The mourners, the weepers, the wailers have all showed up, and they are grieving her death. And Jesus looks at them all and says, go away. This girl's not dead. She's asleep. And you got to believe at that moment that everybody is looking going, Jesus, do you smell what we smell coming out of the back room? I promise this girl is not sleeping. There was no snoring going on, nothing. They laughed at him. But verse 25, after the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand and she got up. And news of this spread all throughout that region. And the story of Jairus just stands out to me because there's a dad who is desperate and he couldn't solve the problem himself, but he knew who could? And I wonder so many times, as a dad, I get desperate with my kids. When one of my kids is not behaving the right way, when one of my kids is sick and I'm not able to stop the pain that they're going through, you know, what do? I would do anything. I'd put myself in that position to protect that child. I'd put myself in that position to, you know, if it could somehow heal my child. And Jairus did the only thing he figured out he could do is, I'm going to go to this guy that can heal. And as a dad, that's what I need to do. And that's kind of a challenge for us dads, is we need to, instead of often worrying about how we can solve our kids' problems, because we know how well that goes sometimes, right? That we need to take our kids to Jesus, to allow Him to do what He's going to do. And so that's a little bit of the exhortation, dads, is that let's not always think that our little plan is going to solve all the problems of our children, or our 10-step child raising program that we go through is going to push out the most perfect children on the face of this earth. Our children are not going to thrive with the Lord unless we are bringing them to the Lord and allowing Him to be the one that can heal them, allowing Him to be the one that can lead them. And so I start to see my job as a dad is to point my kids to Jesus. That's my job as a dad. My job as a dad is to also model what it means to follow Jesus. And I talked about this in the Backshed Bible study on Monday, if you happen to join me. I had all of my kids and our dog in the Backshed together, which was quite entertaining and worth going back and watching, honestly. And we're all in there together. And I got to be really transparent. We had a rough morning in our house. And when I say rough, I mean this guy right here was not a model father. And believe me, my kids weren't exactly being model kids either. But the way I was responding to them was not modeling the goodness of God, was not modeling the grace of God, was not modeling how Jesus would have treated my kids in the same situation. And I was so convicted that maybe correcting my kids' behavior shouldn't be my goal. Maybe my goal should be modeling what it means to follow Jesus, to give them something to follow that way and to say, okay, that's what it looks like to follow after God. Fortunately, I was able to sit down with one of my kids and apologize for what I had said. And I just hope that is one of those things that someday they'll look back and go, okay, that was modeled to me what it meant to be humble, what it meant to humble yourself before someone else. So that's a challenge of how we can be fathers. But I want to challenge us of how we can be sons and daughters to a father. Like I said, there are a lot of us who maybe don't have our father with us anymore, or maybe we never knew our dad, or maybe we just don't have a great relationship with our dads. And we're sitting there going, I struggle with that word father because it brings up so many emotions. It brings up pain. It brings up suffering. It brings up somebody who didn't model it for me or anything like that. And I go back to Galatians. When Paul wrote this in Galatians 4, and it's something we've talked about from the platform several times. Greg Triplett did just an excellent message last year on this. But it's Galatians 4 and right around verse 6. And it says, "Because you are His sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are His child, God made you also an heir. It says, because we are God's sons. So forget for a moment the earthly father that we had. But because every single one of us is his son, God sends his spirit of his son, of God's son, of Jesus, his Holy Spirit, into our hearts. And through that spirit, Jesus, calling out to God the Father, says, Abba. And that spirit enables every single one of us to call out to our Heavenly Father to say, Abba. Some have translated that word as daddy, or it's an intimate expression from a child to a parent, to a father. And because God's Holy Spirit is in me, I can look to God and as not the authoritarian God that is punishing me for what I do wrong, but as the comforting, healing God that scoops me up into his arms and takes care of me and watches over me and as I do for my own kids, cuddles me and holds them tightly. That's what God does for me. And I can look him in the eyes and say, Abba, that's my daddy. In my prayer for every single one of us today, whether we had the best earthly father who we just look at and go, man, he was or is amazing, and I'm so thankful for him and everything of it, part of him, or whether we have someone that we say, I struggled to even call that man my dad. But no matter what, we've got a Heavenly Father that we can look to. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, go, that's my dad. He's my dad. I'm proud of him. And he's proud of me. He's proud of how he made me and how he takes care of me. And so as we close this morning, I would just challenge us to lean into the loving arms of our Heavenly Father who just cares for us so much and loves us so much. And then take what he has done for us and for those of us that are dads or will become dads one of these days to give back to them that unconditional love, to cherish our kids, to celebrate our kids, to smile when they walk in the room rather than when they slam the door and say, quit slamming that door, to smile and go, oh, I am so glad to see you. By the way, would you go close that door again, please? But let's celebrate what our Father has done for us so that we can be the parents that our kids need. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much. So much for what you've done. And I even just think about my own life and how much you did to reconcile my dad's and my relationship many years ago. And I thank you that you gave him to me. And allowed me to learn through him. But even more than that, I thank you that you are my Father and that when everybody else goes away, Lord, that you're still there and that you care for me so deeply. And I pray for every single person that is either at Sunrise this morning or watching online today, that they would be able to look to you and say, Abba, and to say, Daddy, I love you, and to receive your love from them. In the name of Jesus, we pray this. Amen. Well, we appreciate you being with us here on this amazing Father's Day of 2020. Don't forget to join us back later this week. Tomorrow, Beckshed. Wednesday, Pastors Live. Thursday, Luke Miller Podcast. I think we might have... Do we have another podcast coming out from the Beat? That's coming out Friday, so you want to be a part of that. I think that happens at noon or 12:30, right around there. And most of those things are on Facebook or on our YouTube channel as well. We're glad you joined us today. Have a fantastic week.